The final stage of a salmon's life isn't especially glamorous. After laying eggs, they're exhausted and about done. When they reach their pre-programmed destination, they die, and in a final gift to the world, their bodies decompose and release critical nutrients.
They are like conveyor belts of fertilizers.
Denise Devota is a PhD student at the University of Illinois. She's in Dillingham this summer as part of a multi-year project to better understand the nutrients in the watershed of the Togiak National Wildlife Refuge.
And it's amazing how far these nutrients get into the forests. There are a couple of studies that show that the nitrogen from salmon can be found more than 3 miles into the forest interior from the edge of the stream.
She's paying very close attention to two elements, nitrogen and phosphorus.
Out of all the elements that we have, carbon, nitrogen, phosphorus, molybdenum, who knows what, these two are the most limiting amongst any biological organisms we have in the subarctic or in the Arctic up here. It's nitrogen and phosphorus. Those are the two big ones. If we add those two nutrients, life would flourish.
On the banks and hills of the Bristol Bay area are large patches of alder. It's not as romantic as a spawning salmon, but alder's a very big deal in terms of nutrients.
It's so fascinating in southwestern Alaska that 40% of the vegetation cover in this region is comprised of alder, and that is expanding. Satellite images of this region have shown that under climate warming, alder has been expanding northward. It's been creeping up slopes, getting larger and larger and covering more space.
Devota's project aims to measure alder's capacity to contribute those essential nutrients. She's studying 26 streams and 13 lakes.
Off the top of my head, if I can name all of the lakes I'm going to try, we're looking at Gishiak, Good News, Togiak, Little Togiak, Kagadi, Pagadi, Uelik, High Lake, Nagugun, Nenevok, Onlik.
With a great deal of support from the staff at the Togiak Refuge, Devota flies out to lakes and streams. She measures water depth and velocity twice a year. She collects a few liters of water and drops in sediment traps. Those go back to Illinois to be analyzed in the lab. She can tell to some degree which nutrients come from fish and which from alder based on a few different isotopes and statistical models.
We are seeing that in our streams, alder is a major contributor of nitrogen. So that's really exciting. For our lakes, that's where the story gets even more complex and exciting, because lakes are more complex. They bring in nutrients from all across the watershed. They integrate that and bring that to one spot. And we're seeing that in the lakes, salmon and alder, both of them are contributing to not only more nitrogen and phosphorus, but more life as well. And what I mean by more life is that we're seeing more algae, more zooplankton, which are little critters, that they're like insects in the water that baby salmon feed on and other fish feed on. So that's pretty exciting. I need to say clearly that these are all preliminary results, but these are some of the relationships that we're seeing so far.
Everything is still preliminary, but Devota says the study has potential implications to future salmon management.
And what this study aims to do is it wants to answer the question of, if we have alder in the watershed that we know is a fertilizer, do we still need as many salmon escaping upstream? Can we reduce that number because alder is contributing nutrients to the lakes and the streams? And given that alder is set to expand in area, this is going to be a critical question to answer.
You can view photos of Devota's fieldwork at kdlg.org. In Dillingham, I'm Ben Matheson.